Doesn't matter where you have been or where you are right now, you're always welcome at his table. And as long as you come with an open heart to what he has in store for you and ask for his forgiveness, he doesn't care about the past or if you're still holding on to things, but he wants to help to take those things from you for sure. But we're all welcome there, so let's sing this out.
This song's about sickness and prayer. and we either have sickness in physically or mentally, and we pray. Even last night, I woke up in the middle of the night with kidney stone pain, which I become accustomed to from time to time. And through prayer and lots of water, it moved along somewheres. Anyhow, it doesn't hurt right now, so I'm grateful for that. But Willie Nelson wrote this song. It's about a chat with God by someone who's been down and just wanted to let God know that he's back on his feet. And I found this song on a CD called Spirit by Willie Nelson, which has got some not usual Willie Nelson songs. I'd just like to play it for you this morning.
Happy birthday, the birthday boy. Wow. Do you feel any older?
No.
They grow up so fast, yeah.
I don't feel any older. This morning I woke up with kidney pain, and oh, I didn't know I could go on.
But anyway, it's good to see that you're feeling so youthful. Anyway, you know, welcome to church. It's one of those things that sometimes we can have the best made plans and God changes it. I learned long ago that I'm always going to do my best to listen to him because I would rather be up here with him than without him, if you know what I'm saying. Anyway, I thought that maybe last week would be our last part of this series called Worthy. And as I sat down this week and I started to write and I was planning, I realized that the Lord wanted me to do one more, and I thought it was amazing the way this week went. And so let me tell you a little bit about my week. I got together with Eric, and for some of you who don't know Eric and Erica, they moved here from Ontario last year, and they were checking out churches. They had checked out ours, and then they went on to some other ones, and actually that's the counsel that I'll give people because I know I'm different, right? And we're all wired different, and I always want people to have a fit in the church that they're in because, you know what, while we may not be a fit, there's other great churches out there, amen? And great teachers and great speakers and great music, and so it all depends, you know, where you fit and what floats your boat. That's the beauty of God, and that's why we have so many different churches and so many different denominations because we're all wired a little bit different. And so Eric came in, and it was kind of cool, because as we've been getting to know each other, first off, he makes the most incredible cookies, and he makes this thing called poppy seed cake. Woo! Let me tell you, if he ever says we need to get together, say, well, maybe if there's poppy seed cake, then agree to do it, because it's well worth it. Anyway, it's been fun as I've been talking with Eric, because he's got Pentecostal roots. Now, some of you may not know this, but most of you will know this by now, that I, too, have Pentecostal roots. And so the charismatic movement has a kind of a close place in my heart, and I've been through a lot of things and learned a lot of things through the Pentecostal church. And so he came in this past week, and we had just this wonderful time of talking about our past and how God has used the Pentecostal church in our lives and how we've seen changes in the Pentecostal church in the years that have just gone by. And so they felt a connection to this place and to this church, and he said, you know what, I see us being here, and I'm so excited about that and excited about what God has in store for us in the future. And I was thinking, isn't it amazing that here we are, brothers before we ever knew each other? And I was thinking of how blessed I am with the family of God. And, of course, thinking of all of my roots and those saints that have gone before me and the friends who have challenged me, from the Pentecostal church to the Baptist church to the Standard church in which I grew up in, that eventually became part of the Wesleyan church. And I was thinking, wow, how God has shaped my life. And all the while, I was surrounded by family. On a personal note, I want you guys praying for Eric and Erica, because they're actually going to be hopefully getting away. They have a grandbaby that is almost here, and so with the pandemic, everything becomes harder, doesn't it? So anyway, they're hoping to get there with family, and so we want you guys praying for safety and protection upon them as they travel. So that's kind of a personal, selfish thing that I want you guys praying for. But I was loving the way, as we shared, I was understanding how big God's plan was. And how obvious it was to him, and how obvious it was to me, how God cares for us, and how he looks after us, and how he has a plan for us. And I was thinking back, like even as he was telling his stories, and I was telling a little bit of my past, and I was thinking even while we were talking, and I'm going, there's so many occasions, and I don't know if you can relate to this, so many occasions where I should not be here, right? And some of you know what I'm talking about. You can understand my adventurous attitude, that there are things that I've done which may shock you in the past as a younger man, that I'm surprised I survived. That may shock you, right? But I was thinking, how many of us have that story or those stories of, you know what, how in the world did I ever make it this far in life? And the only answer that I have is God was watching over me. And he had a plan for me in the family of God, and he is so worthy of my praise. So worthy. It's only him, right? It's only him. And as Eric and I were sharing about how God rescued him, and I was sharing about how God rescued me, I was so blessed at this gift of family that here we are, and I didn't have to journey alone. And how many times did God use the family to keep me from destruction or to keep me from harm? And I was thinking, he is so worthy. His plan is so evident in hindsight. And I was laughing about this because this past week, some of you may have seen on Facebook, we had a little get-together at the Thomas's Lake Lot. It's Joanne's Lake Lot. I remind Greg of that all the time. And it was kind of fun. It was one of those things that we were thinking about doing, and weather had delayed it, and we kind of said, you know what, we should get together. The summer's going. Let's. Why don't we do a firework night? And so the firework night said, everybody buy kind of a cake or two or three, and we're going to light them all off when it gets to dark. And then it turned into a barbecue, because Joanne can do nothing small. And people were bringing food, and again, I was not complaining. And Phil brought his guitar. He brought Mary. And all of a sudden, my guitar accidentally got put in the car somehow, so I brought it out. And Greg was playing, and we had this beautiful time together. And so some of those things we posted. And while I was going through Tim Hortons, this was the fun part, going through Tim Hortons, and I was ordering a coffee, and someone who knows me over there, right, so I got to the coffee, and they said, why didn't you invite me? And I'm going, well, I'm hoping you're having a good day, too. Like, I just wanted a coffee. Why are you attacking me, right? And they were like, well, we love fireworks, and you didn't invite me. And I'm kind of thinking, it's not even my place. Right? This isn't my thing. Right? Joanne, why didn't you invite them? I was thinking, but of course she wasn't there. And then I was going, okay, hold on. And it was kind of neat because, I like to be quick-witted. And I said to them, I said, you know when those plans are made, those plans happen on Sunday. And all of a sudden, the person who was yelling at me got real quiet. And I said, you know, that's when those family gatherings are designed. I said, and every week you have two opportunities to come to church. In fact, for 16 years you've had a chance to come. So I just want you to know you're welcome to come. Let me invite you. And after church, we make those plans sometimes. And you know what? You might be included too. Now I'm sad to say they're not here yet today. All right? But it kind of changed the idea of the conversation. But what I was sharing with that individual in a fun way is that, you know what? Being part of the family is beautiful, isn't it? Church, and I try to explain this to people, even through the pandemic, we've had people who've joined us and they're listening today online, and I'm so glad that they are, but part of the blessing of church is not just the cool music or the message that maybe challenges sometimes and the scripture that is God's truth that breathes oxygen into our soul. Part of the blessing of church is this family. It's planning barbecues. It's talking about the hockey games. How many saw the Toronto game? Let's be praying today, please. We should take a moment right now. I couldn't believe they won. 3 goals, 3 minutes. No goaltender for 4 minutes. We talked about that. I went out to drop off Elias at work, and Tim and I are stopped in the middle of the road talking about the hockey game because that's part of church. Oh, go Habs. Who said that? Could somebody escort Penny out? I don't even want to hear it. No. So it's this whole idea where you go, wow, there's so many blessings being part of the family of God. And I was thinking this. I said, God, I pray that I never take this position that you have granted me and treat it without the care that it deserves. Think about this with me, church. Think about this. God Almighty adopts us. That we become family. And is the family a big deal to God? Yes, you want to better believe it's a great big deal to God. And I want to spend some minutes this morning kind of reminding us who we are in Christ, right? And that's what we've been doing with this whole series of worship, but none is more important than the notion that we are now family. And this connection that we have, here's the beauty of it. We share it forever. I talk with this with couples that I'm counseling that want to be married. It's so much more exciting and incredible to talk to believers who want to get married because the union that they share is going to echo through eternity. Now, there's some of you here that are horrified to hear that. Oh, okay, but we're not going to be married as we're married here, so everybody relax. Ron, just relax, right? I should be saying let the Betty, right? And here's the reality. The universe is still expanding. You want to know why? Because God is still creating. You want to know why? Because those are going to be some of the joys that we can't imagine in heaven as we explore this great, vast universe that he has made for us. And so if you and your spouse are having kind of a tiff near the end, guess what? The universe is big. You'll be able to spread out. We're family. And it's not just about now. We will share forever. And I was thinking about that this week as I talked with Eric and as we joked about the plans that we make at church. And as I was thinking of Phil's birthday and he was teaching Greg how to play some different chords. And I was going, I need this chord too. And then Greg got off on a story and I'm going, this is so amazing. I'm going to get to see Phil kill Greg tonight. And I'll be able to tape that because, you know, Greg sometimes talks a little, right? And I was thinking of all of these great things, even knowing that we could pray with Bill this morning. And I was going, God is so good, and family is so awesome, and all of this is his idea. John 1:12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Think about that with me. Like this week, I've been so overwhelmed saying, Lord, Like, why do you love me? That I'm his child, are you kidding me? Ephesians 2:19, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Think about that, church. Is he worthy that he would include us in all of that? Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven. Now think about all of those titles. That you are a child of God, that you've been adopted, fellow citizens with the saints, members of God's household, citizenship in heaven. And I was thinking of how many people take that for granted. I don't ever want to take that for granted. Because I think about what Christ went through so that I could be his son. And I think about what Christ went through so that we could be sons and daughters of the Most High. It's incredible to me that he would even be mindful of us. And so last week we shared in communion. And again, that's why I thought maybe that was the end of this series. And I was thinking how wonderful it was to think that Jesus was torn apart for us. That Jesus was poured out for us. And then this week it's been so amplified that his death was so that I could experience life. That Jesus overcame everything that stood in his way so that nothing would stand in my way in becoming part of the family. And I was overwhelmed because he is worthy. And so this week, I've been kind of thinking about all of those things. I said, you know what? Family was greater than the temple. And so my brain, every time I started doing something, I'd have to stop and I'd be thinking about this. And I said, you know what? That's amazing to me that family was greater than the temple. And when you look at the obstacle that the temple was, it's kind of amazing to me, right? This idea of religion and again, this temple rejected Jesus. He was called a friend of sinners. He hung out with the prostitutes and the tax collectors. And it started with John the Baptist, right? So all of a sudden, think about this. Put yourself in that position that the temples are starting to empty. And you know what? The fellers who were up front are going, well, where's everybody going? And somebody probably in the back said, I got an idea. Why don't we go with them and find out? So they leave the comfort of the temple and they find this crazy camel-skinned, eating locust-looking, wild and woolly guy baptizing people on the hillside. And they're saying, this is where all the people have gone. They're here to hear John. And then one day, Jesus shows up at one of John's baptisms. And John baptizes Jesus and says, here's the guy that is greater than anything I have ever done or seen. And you know what? He tells his followers, if you're going to follow anybody, you should be following him. And as a result, these crowds start to follow Jesus. And Jesus is this incredible teacher performing miracles that people had never seen before, hearing things that they had never heard in the temple. And it didn't matter where he was meeting. They were following him. And what was the result? The result was a big old threat to the temple. And the temple was supposed to be teaching, but Jesus was the one they wanted to hear. And the temple had set worship times, but Jesus was the one they traveled to, even though there was no announcements, no posters, no podcasts, no nothing. They sought him out. And what did Jesus do? He loved them, unlike the temple had ever done. And what happened was that message changed everything because those who followed found out that Jesus wanted them to be part of the family. And I was so glad this week that family was greater than the temple. And he reached beyond religion, which is amazing, for this thing that the family, you know what, the family was greater than Rome. And this one hit me strong this week when I was thinking about that, that the family was bigger than Rome because Jesus shook up the known world. But you need to let this sink in because Rome was the greatest military force the world had ever known. When we talk about world domination, we're talking about the known world was dominated by the Romans, that they would roll over entire continents and they would destroy anybody who stood in their way. They feared nothing, right? And here they were, all of a sudden, thrown into fear over this one teacher. For the first time in Rome's history, they feared something, but it was not something, it was someone. Everybody else who stood in their way, they let their blood soak the ground. And here they were, known for their torture, right? Like think of how powerful they were. The crosses littered the countryside. Why? Because that was the slowest way you could kill somebody and let them experience the most pain that they could experience. And to make matters even better for Rome, it was a calling card posted all across the countryside. Here are people who stood in our way, and now they're dying slow. The cat of nine tails, you know, when Jesus was whipped? It's called the cat of nine tails because it has nine laces of leather with bone and porcelain woven within those whips. And the reason why they would whip somebody 39 times is because they had studied death so intently that they knew 40 lashes would kill most men. So they would hit somebody 39 times. This is the Rome that we're talking about. This is the power that we were talking about. And Jesus thought so much of family that he would take on the Roman Empire. And they feared Jesus so much that they would even work with the Jews who they had already defeated to say, we need to get rid of this one because he is going to bring us down. And guess what? You guys know the story. He brought them down anyway because we mark our calendar 2020 since Christ's life. You see, family was more important than the strongest empire the world had ever known. And family was greater than the critics. Again, I was blessed. I told you this consumed me this week. I was thinking about all the critics that have tried to get rid of Jesus. And it's funny because I was even debating with somebody this week who doesn't know a lot about Jesus and he doesn't yet have faith. And I'm hoping and praying that God will turn those tides. And so we've been emailing. I've been writing books to him and he's been faithful enough to read them. And I know he reads them because he asks the right questions that follow. And it's been kind of amazing. And he said, well, you know what? You know, this idea of Jesus, well, there's lots of biblical examples. And I'm going, don't look at the biblical examples. I'm always amazed at how many people would I talk to out there and they say, you know what, I don't know if Jesus even existed. And I said, well, if you don't know that, then you've never studied history. Because there is no doubt historically that Jesus existed. So then if Jesus did exist, we have to look at his claims, right? And was he the Lord of Lords or was he a lunatic? That's the only question that we come back to. But it's kind of amazing to me. I say, look deeper into history. And there's no question that Jesus existed. It's a clear and cut matter. It's amazing to me. And we're not talking about the biblical accounts. When I look at those Jewish historians like Flavius Josephus, and he recorded so much about Jesus. What? Why in the world would a Jew ever record about Jesus when it was the Jews who wanted to wipe him off the face of the map? And here it was, this historian writing about Jesus. Everything to lose. Why would he even mention his name? The Roman politicians, think about this, Pliny and Tacitus. It's amazing to me they recorded the life of Jesus. And again, they were the ones who wanted to erase him from history. Why in the world would they be so bold as to write about him? And the only conclusion we have in history is that Jesus was the real deal. Jesus so impacted the world that he lived in that it was reported. Even Pontius Pilate and Tiberius reported the gospel stories showing us that the timeline is accurate. And these were the critics. Are you kidding me? The family of God is so big that it defeats the critics? Yes. You cannot dismiss Jesus. because his impact on the world is undeniable. History records him at every turn, and the family was greater than all of the critics. And then I was thinking about this. The family was greater than death. The family was greater than death. And I was overwhelmed by the resurrection. Right, this principle that Christ would rise from the grave and share that blessing with me. Are you kidding me? And I was thinking about that, the resurrection. Think about this. Okay, so all of a sudden the Romans work with their enemy to get rid of one man. And this one man had so much power over the region that they said, okay, we're going to seal the tomb. They sealed the tomb, literally sealed the tomb. You know what would happen in history, what history records? That if you were to break a Roman seal, do you know what would happen? Death for you and death for anybody involved, including your family. You see, they understood that when Jesus was dead, this tomb held such an important remain that they had to assure that nothing would happen to it. We have to be sure that he's gone, that he's dead, that his believers know that this foolishness of raising the temple in 3 days is dead. And so they seal it. Not only that, they guard it. Again, anybody who looks at history through an eye, you know, that is logical at all, you'd say, okay, so here's the strongest military might of its day, and they guard the tomb after they've sealed it. Again, do you know what would happen if a soldier fell asleep during his watch? He would be killed on sight. You want to know what would happen if he left his post? He would be killed, those who were with him would be killed, and his family would be hunted until they were all dead. Think about that. They knew what kind of precious cargo the tomb held. And now all of a sudden, those skeptics are trying to say to me that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. I'm saying, yeah, 12 guys, most fishermen, some tax collectors, overthrew the Roman army, broke a seal, and somehow snuck out the body of Jesus. You got to be kidding me. But you see, this idea of family was so important to God that death would not stand in its way. That's incredible to me. He is so worthy. And again, I couldn't let it rest. I'm going, okay, so it's not only death that the family is greater than. The family is greater than time. Like, why in the world are we still talking about Jesus in 2020? That alone should make people and skeptics and those who are unbelieving, it should make their head shake that the Bible is the best-selling book worldwide, not even close the second. And I think about this, that man, oh man, this is amazing to me, that the idea of family, it transcends time. That there are countries that have tried to make Christianity illegal. There are countries that have tried to burn the Bible and every scripture they could find to erase this idea of the family of God. And they've been unable to do it. And to make matters even better, if you study law, what is the greatest proof in the law when it comes to the idea of innocence or comes to the idea of the story that should be told? And the greatest proof is eyewitnesses. Doesn't matter what court you are in the world, they call upon eyewitnesses. Why? Because you can't refute what somebody has seen. Esther Lewis, her dad was an evangelist and a lawyer. And he wrote this incredible essay about the trial of Christ. And I love it. It was really neat. It really challenged me. And his point as a lawyer, thinking through the law and through those eyes, he said, you know what? He used this portion, a large portion of this essay. He talked about the eyewitnesses. We can't dismiss the eyewitnesses. And this week, I was thinking, the family was so important that it has transcended time. And how did that happen? And I was thinking of Mary Magdalene. The first one to meet a risen Savior at the tomb. And then the disciples that went running to meet him, right? There was just a few. And they came back with this story. And we think about this story. And some of the guys are going, I don't know if I can believe that or not. And then the disciples get together. And you guys know the story. This is the week of the resurrection. They have the doors locked because they don't know if the Romans are coming to kill them. They're living in fear. They're trying to figure out what the next step is. And who shows up? within the room that has locked doors is Jesus. And he's like, what are you guys talking about? And they're like, ah! Right? I grabbed, see what happened there? Yeah, they filled some drawers, right? And then as quick as he came, he disappears again. And they probably went, oh, round two. That's maybe why we call it number two. I don't know. But not all the disciples were there, and so they're sharing this. And Thomas is like, oh, man, that would be so crazy, and that would be so awesome. But unless I feel the scars and put my hand in his side where the spear has pierced him, I cannot believe. And so a week later, again, the disciples are meet at where? In this room that is locked. And who shows up again? For Thomas alone, Jesus. And Thomas feels the scars. Then he puts his hand inside this rib cage of this living being who's standing before him. And then I was thinking, this is incredible. And I think about the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And they're downhearted. You guys know that story. They're walking along and they're downhearted. And Jesus shows up and he goes, why are you guys so sad? And they're like, are you the only one in all the region who hasn't heard about what's happened in the last few days? And Jesus says, tell me what? I see him holding his little COVID mask over his face so they can't recognize him, right? And they walk with this man, telling him about himself. And their hearts are warmed, and they get excited, and they say, you know what? This has been such an incredible walk. We were so down, and you kind of brought us up. Would you come in and have dinner with us? And Jesus says, sure. And it says he sits down at the table, and he takes the bread, and he gives thanks, and he breaks it. And all of a sudden, they go, whoa, am I sitting on an apple pie because I feel like I just came off the chair? No, it was Jesus. And guess what? He disappears again out of sight. And they're like, this is incredible. Time after time, appearing on the beach at the Sea of Galilee to those disciples who went back to fishing, appearing to Saul in this light, right? On the road to Damascus, and he is blinded, and Jesus meets with him, and he not just changes Saul's name to Paul, but he changes his entire life. A guy who was trying to eradicate Christianity by killing all those who bowed to God, and all of a sudden he is bowing before God himself on the road when he's taken by his sight, and he goes, oh, my land, you are Christ, you are risen. Paul goes on to record in his lifetime that there was over 500 eyewitnesses to the appearing of Jesus before he went to be with the Father, before the Holy Spirit came. 1 Corinthians 15:6, you can look that up. Over 500 references, eyewitnesses that he interviewed. Because time could not erase the family of God. Even James, again, we just did a study in James. James, Jesus' brother, while Jesus was living and doing his ministry, James thought he was crazy. You're a lunatic. You're going to get yourself killed. And Jesus was like, that's the point. James finally sees Jesus after everything is said and done and comes to call his half-brother a savior. And writes the incredible book of James. Evidence too much to dismiss. Why? Because that's how important being part of the family of God is. Matthew 18:14. The Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. He loved you. And he loved me. And nothing was going to stand in the way of family. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He wants everyone to be part of the family. Oh, that we would never take that gift for granted. Oh, that we would understand how blessed we are this morning. And it's a family that will echo through eternity. It's a blessing that will never run dry. Look at what he has done. Look at what he has done. Look at what he has done. Is he worthy? You want to better believe he's worthy. Again, just thinking of those words. Man, we like fireworks. The next time you do something like that, why don't you invite us? It's his will that none should perish. He's invited everyone to be a part of the family of God. And for those of us who have received that and opened that gift, I hope that we would never, ever take it for granted, because the family was too important. It overcame way more than we would ever understand. Don't take it for granted. Be thankful, because he is worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. Everybody bow your heads. I'm past my time. So anyway, it's okay. We got an hour. Ron's like, an hour. I haven't got an hour. I saw that look, Ron. Everybody bow your heads real quick. This week I have been so thankful for you. Some of you that are listening online today, some of you are sitting right here in the seats, I have been so thankful for you. I am amazed, I am in wonder, I am in awe that God would call his sons and daughters. Oh, I don't want to take that for granted. I've already been given everything I need in this life. And it has no expiry date. It's going to go to the life to come. Like, I've been given everything, everything I've ever needed by being part of the family of God. Oh, he is good. He is worthy. Nothing would stand in the way of this incredible idea, and he did it all for me, and he did it all for you. Are you kidding me? He is worthy. He is worthy. Maybe you're here today, or maybe you're listening online, and you say, you know what? I'm not a part of that. I've seen Christians in my life. I've seen and observed the church, and I go, you know what? Yeah, there's a lot of them that are messed up. There's a lot of them that don't live what they say. But man, there's those few that I just can't dismiss. There's those ones that have made such an impact on my life. And who did they bow to? They didn't bow to anybody but Jesus. The strongest, most peaceful, most brilliant people I've known have found themselves at the foot of the same cross that I bow to. And you would say, wow, those are the people that have made a difference. Maybe you are listening, maybe you're here today and you've never been a part of the family. I'm saying, what in the world are you waiting for? After all that Christ overcame, after all the mountains moved so that you could be part of the family of God, why in the world wouldn't you open that gift of gifts? That you would believe, like Billy Graham used to say, ABC. You'd acknowledge that you're in need of a Savior, acknowledge that you're a sinner, that you would believe in your heart that Christ was not a lunatic, but he was Lord. You would believe that he is who he said he would be, and that you confess, see, you confess those problems, that sin and that need. You confess it to him, and it says that you too can be part of the family. Why in the world would you not do that? If you are listening today, you want to be part of the family, then Jesus, I need you. Jesus, forgive me. That's it. That's all that's required. And maybe you're here today and you are part of the family, but you know what? You've been taking it for granted. You're part of the family, but you forgot all of the mountains moved so that you could be part of something eternal. And maybe you've taken it for granted. Maybe you've taken those loved ones for granted. Maybe you've taken advantage of them. I want to tell you, stop. Be humbled. Never take your position for granted. Would you love, love, love as he commanded us to love one another? Because the world is watching and they can't dismiss it. You and I, think about how twisted this is. You and I are his perfect plan. to call all those unto salvation. It's by our fruit, it's by our love they shall know us. Never take for granted the position that he has given you. Maybe there's tension between you and a brother and sister. Well, then put on your big girl pants or your big boy pants and do as the Word of God tells you and make it right. Because the family, it was so important to him that he changed everything. Honor it. Appreciate it. Love one another. Whew, it'll change the world. Let's pray. God, you are worthy. You are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy to receive glory and honor and praise. That you would adopt us, that you would call us sons and daughters, that you would make a way when there was no way, that you would move mountains of time, move mountains of religion, you'd move mountains of death. Oh, you are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy. I pray that we would never forget, that we would always stand in awe, and that it would so transform our lives that we would live as a family ought to live. Make an Abba Father proud. Let us love. For those who have yet to receive, Father God, send the Holy Spirit in such a way. Holy Spirit, be relentless, be relentless, be relentless, be relentless. Why? Because time is short. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's my prayer, that's my prayer, that's my prayer, because you are worthy. You are worthy of all my prayers. Thank you, God, for all you've done. We love you, Jesus. Go before us, Spirit. Make our path straight. And I pray all this in your incredible, powerful name. And all God's people said, amen.